So where do you go for help with this epidemic? Well, there are countless products, there are countless diets, there are countless programs and gyms and so forth. All these things out there that want you to believe that they have the solution for you and this problem. And one of them is a company by the name of Sensa Products. They sold a powder that you sprinkle on your food, and it was supposed to suppress your appetite. The problem is that the Federal Trade Commission said that their claims were not based on scientific evidence. In January of this year, Sensa was ordered to repay past customers $26.5 million because of false advertising. Now, certainly they are the only ones who are guilty of false advertising. Unless you want to consider Taco Bell's seasoned beef, Activa yogurt, Hyundai, Kia, Splenda, Rice Krispies, Pennzoil, New Balance shoes. You get the picture? There are laws in America designed to protect us from false advertising. And a number of companies have been caught in the act. Unfortunately, there are no similar laws in America to protect us from people. We don't require anyone to tell us what is really inside of them going on at the moment that they present themselves. We see them at their wonderful clothes and their smile and their mannerisms, and we assume their words, and we are left to discern whether or not they're telling us the truth. It's an accepted way of life, isn't it? And many of us have become experts at hypocrisy. But wait, I misspoke. There are laws to protect us from these types of things. In fact, there's more than one. The first one that comes to my mind goes like this: you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. That one's written in stone. David wrote in Psalm 51, "Surely you, O God, desire truth in the inner parts." Jeremiah cried out in chapter 5, verse 3, "O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth?" And Zechariah didn't pull any punches when he said this in chapter 8. He said, "These are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgments in your courts. Do not plot evil against your neighbor and do not love to swear falsely. I hate all this, declares the Lord. I hate all this, declares the Lord." Yes, there are laws, many of them, to protect me and you from falsehood in our lives. The tragedy is that the majority of the people in our lives don't know that those laws even exist, or if they do know that they exist, they've chosen to ignore them. And of course, a greater tragedy is that you and I know those laws exist, don't we? But we choose to break them. Someone said that the greatest problem with the church is that it's full of hypocrites. Someone else said that's a good place for hypocrites to be because we need to recognize it and we need to be cleansed. One Sunday morning in a church Sunday school, the teacher was trying to convey to the children what all this was about and the value of telling the truth. And she started by asking the children to define a lie. What is a lie? And one of the little girls spoke up and she said, "A lie is an abomination to God and a very present help in times of trouble." Sounds like to me she's figured out how to live this life, don't you know? That's how a lot of people deal with this life, Christian and non-Christian. Over and over in the Bible, God is identified with the word truth, and that's especially true in the Psalms. Here's just a few of the examples. Psalm 25, Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. Psalm 31, into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. Psalm 145, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. All of that, of course, doesn't apply just to God the Father. All of that applies to Jesus the Son. 78 times in the New Testament, Christ began his statements by saying, I tell you the truth. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, he added something very important. He said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. All truth is found in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul echoed the importance of that in 1 Corinthians 13. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Wow. Paul said that the opposite of truth is not just falsehood. He said the opposite of truth is evil. And that brings me now to one of the saddest conversations in the Bible. It's one of the most dramatic stories in the Bible as well, and it's found in John chapter 18, beginning in verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea? Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it that you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And here comes the zinger. Pilate responded by asking Jesus, what is truth? Pilate is face to face with the creator of everything, the God of all truth, and he doesn't see him, and he doesn't hear him, he doesn't recognize him, he doesn't acknowledge him. Let me ask you something. Has the God of truth revealed his truth to you? Do you see him? Do you hear him? Do you acknowledge him? Do you recognize him? Can you answer Pilate's question? What is truth? I can't help but wonder what was Pilate's tone of voice when he asked that question. I've often wondered, was he just curious? What is truth? Or was he sarcastic and cynical? What is truth? Or maybe he was just weary of the whole thing. What is truth? Or maybe he really wanted to know. What is truth? Regardless, he didn't hang around for the answer, because it says in the Bible that immediately he went out to the Jews and he asked yet another sad question. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is one of those quotes that we Christians can say is an absolute truth. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ, the Son. And there are countless people in the world who reject that as an absolute. They see themselves as opposing absolutism and embracing relativism. In 1997, William Watkins published a Christian book called The New Absolutes. In it, he claimed that roughly 3 out of 4 Americans today embrace relativism. They would look at you, a follower of Jesus Christ, who said he was the way, the truth, and the life, and they would argue, what an arrogant thing for Jesus to say. What an arrogant thing for you to say to other people. Who do you think you are? Don't push that on me. According to William Watkins, 75% of the people in your life claim that there are no absolute truths. They claim all truth is relative. But Watkins does go on to say in his book that they are lying to themselves. You see, they really do believe in absolutes. They're simply abandoning the old absolutes and they're bringing in new ones, new absolutes. They're rejecting the truth of the Word of God and they're replacing it by politically correct agenda. And they're very effective at it. Their packaging and their products are attractive and deceptive, false advertising. One of their tools is television sitcoms. With clever writing and funny performances and carefully placed laugh tracks, they are persuading millions and millions of young people, and millions of old people too, that Jesus Christ is not the way, the truth, and the life. Theirs is false advertising, and they are absolutely wrong. The truth is the truth. Has that sunk in yet? The truth is the truth. You cannot just try to redefine it. The truth of God is absolute. It is not relative. Common sense tells us that some truths are not negotiable. They are absolute. For instance, it matters whether you breathe oxygen or water for life. If you breathe water for long enough, you will die. That is an absolute truth. When you board an airplane and you ask the gate attendant, where do I go? What if she were to say, it doesn't matter, just get on any of these planes here, they'll take you somewhere. No, you want her to say, get on that plane because you want to go where you wanted to go. Jesus Christ is absolutely the correct flight. Try to get to God on any other flight and you will wind up at your destination, hell. Pilate said, what is truth? You know the answer to that question is, if Jesus Christ is the truth, and if Jesus Christ lives in you, what does that require of you? Surely you, O God, desire truth in the inner parts. You may have noticed something about our American legal system, and it's also very clearly reflected in our news reports on television and radio all the time. A lawyer is interviewed before the cameras, or a news anchor is reading the teleprompter at night, and they say, so-and-so allegedly did such-and-such. We've heard that from news reporters when they're talking about some deranged, satanically controlled individual who takes a gun into a school and kills children and adults as well and murders teachers. And he allegedly did it. Why do they do that? Because society is terribly anxious to be politically correct. And we want to make sure that everyone gets a fair trial. Of course we do. Brothers and sisters, the scriptures do not say that all have allegedly sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The scriptures do not say that Jesus Christ allegedly died for our sins. What is truth? It is absolutely this. You and I are like sheep gone astray. We've turned, everyone, we've turned everyone to our own way, our own way. And God has laid on him our iniquities, all of them. A few sermons ago, I referred to a hymn written by Howard Walker by the name of I Would Be True. Now, we were talking about trust that day, but the first line of the hymn begins, I would be true, for there are those who trust me. That's good. There are those who trust you. There are those who trust you. So make sure that there is truth in your advertising. That goes for your family at home. Be real with your spouses, with your children, with your grandchildren. Don't have to fake it. Don't try to fake it. That goes for the students in your classroom. That goes for your fellow workers. Let there be truth in your advertising. It goes for your brothers and sisters sitting beside you right here. Are you who you say you are? Or do you just look nice? But let's not forget this. We would be true because the Spirit of truth dwells in us. Hallelujah. The Spirit of truth dwells in you. He has miraculously and amazingly come inside of your life and placed his truth into you. Wow. That's a Presbyterian hallelujah. Wow. I would be true because he trusts me with his truth. We began this Lenten series of sermons 4 weeks ago with the test of Jesus, and then the trust of Jesus, and last week was the touch of Jesus, and today, of course, is the truth of Jesus. Test, trust, touch, truth. So here's my summary prayer for you today. May God not test you to prove your trust in Jesus, because he has touched you with the truth of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so very much for being the way for us, the truth for us, the life for us. Thank you, Lord, that we know where you were going, where you went, and where you're coming from again. And Lord, I pray that since the Spirit of truth lives in me and my brothers and sisters here, that we would be true to Jesus Christ in our homes, in our workplace, in the places where we play, in the place where we worship. Lord God, may we be true. In Jesus' name, amen.